Hoi hoi, welcome to Head Games, the science and psychology of sports. I'm Dr. Brett Levine, joined as always by Dr. Ben Rosenberg. Ben, how many of your fantasy football players did you lose last weekend?
Oh, dude, all of them. They're gone. They're dead. They all died.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk a little bit about injuries. News, the NBA playoffs are...
Rolling along. Conference finals.
Yep. Stanley Cup's going on. And baseball playoffs are imminent as well. Yeah. And I wanted to revisit something real quick because it's news relevant. So before the season started, I made a gentle prediction that the safer teams a la COVID would have better health outcomes and therefore would be have more players on the field and have a greater chance of making the playoffs. And I boldly picked the Angels to win the AL West. Yeah, because
not a gentle prediction.
No. Well, hey, look, they got a team. I don't know. I think some things didn't work out. I don't think Griffin Canning didn't turn out to be as good as they'd hoped. Otani didn't. They lost, two decent arms, I think. But anyway, that didn't work out. And I wanted to just revisit the current playoff picture now, which is really interesting. So we were just talking about it off air. This is so the playoffs haven't started yet. So I'm going to read to you. This is the at last count, and I could be wrong about this. The number of teams that had outbreaks.
Okay.
These were cancellations due to COVID, and I think someone confirmed on their team to have had it. It might not have been like a everyday player, but like there was someone who tested positive.
So
it was the Marlins. Phillies, Cardinals had a long streak, the Reds, the Mets, the A's, and the Giants and Padres were postponed, but it was a false positive.
Yeah, word.
I believe, I'm reading the teams again, and the playoff picture isn't set yet, but almost all of these teams are going to make the playoffs. It's almost as if getting COVID...
No way, dude.
These teams, I don't get it. Like,
no way, man.
The only team, as of right now, like the Mets, I don't think are going to make the playoffs. But the A's, I believe, are in. The Cards have, I think the Cardinals have the fifth spot. The Marlins have the sixth spot. The Reds have the seventh. So they're all in. A's are in the third spot. Unbelievable. Like it literally zigged when I was like, no, this is how does that, I don't get it. I don't understand. You think there's any rhyme or reason why this is happening?
I have no idea, man. I my best guess is we're seeing causation where there's no causation, like the human brain is really, really, really good at seeing patterns that look sequential like that. Like A led to B when there's not really any causation, some other third factor is underlying this kind of relationship we're seeing between COVID outbreak and performance. What it is, I don't know, man, but I would say it's doubtful that it's directly COVID leading to these teams succeeding. One third factor that does pop into mind is maybe they're getting a little bit of extra rest, right? Like these guys are basically getting no days off this season. Always makes me think of the Bill Belichick, no days off thing, but they're not getting any days off, right? They have 60-day sprint for baseball season, which baseball players play every day anyways, but there's at least, Monday or Thursday day off days trickled in. Super slim pickings this year. So maybe a bit of extra rest is allowing these teams to perform better. I mean, I don't know, but they're also playing all these double headers. Like it's weird.
Well, maybe that's it. I mean, it's hard to think of what variables could be be causing this. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's a small sample size. I noticed that. I thought like, oh, that's a little weird.
And
especially when, the leading theory would be like stay healthy, win games. Right. And it's not as if, but the thing was, is when someone tested positive, the whole team was shut down and they just replayed those games. It wasn't as if one pitcher is out and took out a whole pitching staff. It was like, we're shutting the whole team down and we're just all going to play when you guys are healthy again.
Right. Seemingly they were good at containing it. Right. So to your point, it wasn't like it infected the whole team and everybody got sick or something. And it really affected their performance. It seemed like they contained it pretty well.
Yeah. And the only time it was affected like personal, like individual players was when like we talked about Clevinger and Plesak.
Yeah,
they had violated the team rules, and there was all. And by the way, Clevinger ended up getting traded.
Yeah.
Want to talk about, like, talk about quick, team chemistry.
Dude. Quick.
See ya.
Yeah. Don't need you anymore. He's an ace, right?
Yeah.
He's legit.
Yeah, he's yeah. good.
Super,
he's
good. Super interesting. The other point that I should make on this is the favorite front runner right now for NL MVP is Freddie Freeman, and he had COVID before the season started, dude. And he came back and he's just been raking all year. I mean, look, he's been a good player for many years. Again, I would say this is not a COVID causing him to win the MVP thing. But interesting point nonetheless to sort of back up your observation about the teams.
Yep. Well, we'll leave it at that. I think we'll see what happens. And again, the playoff picture is not settled yet, but interesting nonetheless. And I think there's going to be a lot more conclusions when we, when the season's over, and B, when we know more about COVID to really make some conclusions. It's probably not a good thing. I'm gonna think that getting COVID is still arguably not a good thing.
Definitely not good.
All right, so let's move into the main topic here. And, you know, we started the show by talking about week two of the NFL season, which I coined Bloody Sunday because it was just one after another. It felt like players were getting hurt. And I saw some discussions about this. Is it because of the lack of a preseason? Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, something going, again, like conspiracy theories with COVID? Is it like a weird rest thing, or is there some other variable we're not considering?
The turf, right? They were talking about the turf at MetLife with the Niners game. I mean, that was like literally within four plays, they lost two guys to torn ACLs. I mean, that was interesting. But yeah, you're right. Conspiracy theories abound for sure about what was driving this supposed increase in injuries.
Yeah. And like maybe the field wasn't ready because the regular staff, someone got COVID, so they had the fill-in staff and the field. Don't get me started.
The replacement groundskeepers really fucked that one up.
Yeah, I'm just gonna. I mean, let's leave it at it. Again, looking for causation when there may or may not be causation.
Yeah,
it is. It did seem a little weird.
Yeah,
and what was a little bit clarifying was I wanted to dig into this a little bit more and understand like how bad was this.
Yeah.
Because I think you and I, who both play fantasy football, were starting to notice like big for names sure. were getting
big names were going down. Well, and it was as you said, this was like the leading story from NFL week two across every media outlet, right? Everybody's talking about this, like everybody's getting injured, all these huge injuries in the games. And as I mean, to your point, I think it was a good idea for you to look at what's actually happening. Like, are we seeing something that's not there? Or I don't know. Talk more about what you did.
I looked into this just in terms of like, I got the NFL injury report for week three. So we're about to head into week three. Mm-hmm. I got the injury report for this season. Okay. And then I got the same report for the 2019, 2018, 2017, and 2016 seasons.
Okay.
And just compared them. And it's based on frequency. So we don't have to worry about bye weeks. Even still, I think if we had a bye week, it would be controlled for across all five seasons anyway.
Yeah. And there shouldn't be no bye weeks happen.
The same number of teams. At any rate, I'm looking at the injury report. This does not count guys who were lost for the season. So like, Saquon Barkley is not mentioned on the injury report because he's out for the year.
Okay.
So we have to control for that, or we have to mention
sub-season ending injuries, right? This is like your week-to-week, day-to-day type injuries.
Yeah, but it I think is nonetheless a good indication of the number of injuries coming out of week two anyway, because if it was this crazy week or if COVID had something to do with it, I think it's a good indication. And they're listing people in the practice report, and it's one of three things. Either you were a full participant, you were limited, or you did not participate. Okay. And I basically tallied up if you were limited or you did not participate, meaning probably some. I didn't go through it because there wasn't that level of detail to say, oh, it's personal or something else other than injury. I just said, if you're limited or did not, I tallied it. And I saw... So this is heading into week three for 2020, 165 players. 2019, same week, 184.
Okay.
2018, 153. 2017, 158. 2016, 171. By no means is 165 players the outlier here. It's actually last year, which is 184.
Yeah. Yeah, that's far and away the outlier. So it seems like this year's week two, or heading into week three, as you looked at it, is consistent with what we've seen in the recent past.
Yeah, I mean, it falls in the middle. Over the last 5 years, it's not really much of an outlier. Again, it could be, I don't think there was a crazy amount of season-ending injury. There was some.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but mm-hmm. I mean, the brutality of the sport lends it to a lot of season-ending injuries every week.
I would expect that would be randomized across years, across weeks. It's like that shit always happens. It's unlikely that I think we'd see any kind of patterns there that would differentiate, I guess, between this versus a year past.
The difference between this year and last year was 19 guys. So I don't think there were. I mean, let's say there's three every week. I still don't think there's 19 more to be the outlier to than 19. Like, I don't think that was the case. So what's going on? Like, I guess, you know, you and I play fantasy football, and fantasy football is usually the best players. And it did seem like, you know, name after name after name was going down.
Yeah.
So what, like, why then is it why is that going on? Like, why do we think it's this crazy injury Sunday when really it's, you know, just like every other week too?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I was in the same kind of mode of thinking as it seems like everybody was, which is like, holy shit, there were a lot of injuries this week. Like, what's happening? And, you know, stepping away from it, and after hearing the data that you pulled up, I think it's clear that what's probably happening is something called the availability heuristic. So we've talked about recency bias, right? Similar kind of bias or a heuristic is like a judgmental shortcut that people take. So availability heuristic is the idea that we use things that easily come to the top of our mind to make judgments about what has either happened in the past or what's going to happen in the future. And so in this case, it seems that because this sort of is easily called to mind, this fact that, like, whoa, there were so many injuries and everybody's talking about it.
In that same voice too, like, whoa, dude. Whoa,
yeah, whoa, exactly. In the Jeff Grock voice. there, you know,
you just added him.
Yeah, that too. At Jeff Grock.
At Jeff Grock.
This ease of calling to mind of all of these supposed injuries happening really influences people's judgments. And I think most importantly is the point that you already sort of mentioned, which is that maybe more of these guys that got hurt are just bigger names. And so that makes them really easy to call to mind. So if I can easily bring to my mind a bunch of names of big players, especially fantasy players, who got hurt, McCaffrey, Mostert, Garoppolo, Bosa, right? If you have the Niners D, like, there's all these big names that got hurt. Mm-hmm. If I can easily bring them to mind, it's going to make me overrate the frequency with which this happened across the whole league. When in reality, as you said, it doesn't seem like all that much of an outlier.
Not to make this show again about fantasy football, but what do you think, if any, fantasy impact this would have by understanding the availability heuristic, but also looking at these numbers and saying, like, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that crazy.
Hopefully it would just make people kind of moderate their, like, you know, losing their minds about, oh my God, my whole team got injured, because, like, yeah, it's probably just randomness. You know, maybe, yeah, you happen to have a few more guys this year that got hurt than in the past. And again, it's easy to call to mind these big names that got hurt. But hopefully it would just allow people to sort of moderate, maybe go make a trade if you need to, jump on the waiver wire. Hopefully you had Jerick McKinnon as a handcuff to Mostert or whoever that you can plug and play. But the other thing to think about is that this is most likely spread across everybody in your league, right? It's unlikely that one fantasy player, one team in your league has absorbed most of these injuries. So yes, the guy that has Saquon, the guy that has McCaffrey, like, they're more impacted this week, but that's going to even out across the year. And to just remember that that is going to happen, that's going to be consistent across the year as we go, and that probably you'll come back, assuming you didn't have a shitty computer-led draft like you in our one league.
Right. It's funny because last week we were talking, or last time we recorded, I should say, we were talking about the idea of reacting to those early studs who are outside, you know, who are outside, I think it was like 192, like the waiver wire guys, to say, like, over the past I think I went back like 5 or 6 seasons. Those are the guys who went up in the top 100 the following year. And now we're saying, look, don't overreact. Like when it comes to injuries, do not overreact to this because it's just, sort of like, it's noise basically.
I mean, it's noise. It's part of the game, man. Like this just, this happens every year. And I think again, it's easy for us to, our judgments about the frequency and the horribleness, the severity of this to be impacted by the ease with which we can call it to mind. And in this case, it seemed like, as you said, Bloody Sunday. But the reality is maybe it wasn't all that bad.
Please rate and subscribe to the show where applicable. You can find us on Twitter at HeadGamesPsych. You can find me on Twitter at Dr. Brett Levine, and you can find that guy on Twitter at BD Rosenberg PhD. Thanks as always to Joshy Boy, Josh Baca, and Gladdy Ice for putting together today's show. And thanks for tuning in.